We're going to look at a few words. They're themes. They're found throughout Scripture. We need to hang on to them. We need to embrace them. And in particular, in some respects, we need to become them. We're going to look at the word keeper. We're going to look at words like guard, gatekeepers. We're going to look at this whole concept of standing in the gap. A gap is a breach in the wall, which gives access to the enemy. When there's a breach, it must be filled. Otherwise, the wall is taken and the city is lost. So, we're going to be looking at Old Testament and New Testament scriptures in regard to this whole concept of guarding. If you would stand, we're going to read, Psalms 121. It's the 121st Psalm. The Lord is the keeper. It's a David psalm. It was probably penned in an army camp between battle. David needed and knew he could count on the keeping of his army and himself in God's kingdom and work. It's a short psalm. It's 8 verses. And then we're going to look at a few verses in 1 Chronicles 9. So, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. He's the guardian of your soul. The Lord will guard or preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And then the Chronicles passage, 1 Chronicles 9. The 9th chapter, the 21st through 24th verse. And that'll be the end of our reading for now. 1 Chronicles 9, 21. Zechariah, the son of Meshelemiah, was the gatekeeper of the entrance of the tent of meeting. All these who were chosen to be gatekeepers at the thresholds were 212. These were enrolled by genealogy in their villages, whom David and Samuel the seer appointed in their office of trust. Verse 23, so they and their sons had charge of the gates of the house of the Lord, even the house of the tent, the tabernacle. As guards. They were guards. The gatekeepers were on four sides, the east, west, north, and south. Blessed be God's reading of His word. Thank you. You may be seated. This 121st Psalm of David's sometimes is called Soldier's Psalm. Other times it's called the Traveler's Psalm. David had become convinced of God's love, provision, protection, and perseverance through his life. He knew he counted on God to persevere. He counted on God that he would be preserved. He didn't need to look anywhere else because God had been faithful all his life, and he hadn't forgotten it. We forget. Man, we forget. What have you done for me lately, God? It's how we are. But we need to remember that God is faithful. The song we sang a moment ago said, from that first breath to that final breath, he's in control. The thing is, it goes beyond that as we are in his kingdom, in his presence. God's control. We have a problem with that because we want to be in control. That's the nature of man. And so David, as a young shepherd boy, I know the prophet came to David's house, talked to his daddy, said, I'd like to meet your sons. And the prophet had been told that God was going to anoint a new leader. And from this house, from this family. And so they had all the sons there, and he started with the oldest, and he worked his way down. And God wasn't giving him the affirmation that this was the one. And I mean, he went through several. And so he finally turns and says, you got any more sons? Because God's not saying it's any of these. It's almost like he had forgotten he had any more sons. He said, oh, well, I've got the shepherd boy. He's out tending my flocks. He's my youngest. Well, that youngest shepherd would be the one that would take over from the weaknesses of Saul and be the king that God had in mind. Now, as a shepherd, he had killed the bear and the lion with his hands as he watched over the sheep. It was a commitment. He was there. He could be counted upon. He was not going to let the sheep perish. This is a picture of what Christ is and to us. He is our all in all. In John 10, Jesus said, I am the shepherd. He also said, I am the gate. I'm the door. He's our all in all. And so we look that David had counted on God's provision and protection. And then when that young boy brought lunches to his older brothers out on the field of battle, they were encamped in a valley. And for days, for a long time, they'd been there. And they weren't fighting. They were just encamped. But there was a battle going on, even though they had not fought. the battle going on was one where the giant, Goliath, would come out every morning, suited for battle, and he would ridicule the army of Israel. He would call them dogs. They were afraid. But more than that, when David came and he heard that he was insulting the Lord God Almighty, throwing insults to God, that he wasn't what he said he was and all that he was, that got all over David. And he was little and young, but it didn't matter. This boy of faith couldn't use Saul's armor. He couldn't even drag it around. But he had what God used to bring victory. You've got gifts. If you are a believer in Christ, he has given you spiritual gifts. And that's enough. Bring them to him. He magnifies them and they are used of God. So David took that sling and those little stones, and he went out to meet the giant. And he ran at him. And the stone was guided to the giant's forehead, and he fell, and he was destroyed by David. And there was a great victory. So past experiences let David remember how in future circumstances, how grave they might be, I can count on God. That's how it is as we walk through day after day. He said, my help comes from the Lord. And that he doesn't nap. He doesn't forget me. He doesn't forget. He sees what I'm going through. He's not untouched by it. But he has a plan. He has a purpose. He is orchestrating his will, which is always perfect, to be carried out through our lives. We don't understand it. We will. But he has called us to trust him. That's a big deal for us. Some of us are more trusting than others. Trust makes us vulnerable. Trust means I'm going to have to depend on someone else besides myself. And that can be tough. But as a believer, we trust God because he is able. He loves us. And he does good things for his children, even when we can't see that they are good. He guards our soul. We are creatures of time. We came into this world, we are alive, and we have this idea that when we close our eyes many times, that's pretty much it. But the believer, it's only the beginning. That was only a foretaste of life. Life eternal will be something we've never experienced in its fullness till we get there. And so we trust him here. And trust him on that final breath. And when we see Him and forevermore in His presence, it's a fabulous, fabulous thing that all believers have looked forward to. He will guard us. Several months ago, after many tragedies, mass killings throughout this nation and our state, men of this church, the ladies as well, were concerned. Who wouldn't be? Especially after the November slayings 7 months ago in Sutherland Springs. The scripture says that in Nehemiah, when Nehemiah the prophet was called to bring the people back, some to come back out of captivity, to Jerusalem was in shambles. The wall was broken. The gates were removed. They were open to attack at all times. There were a few people still living there, but the multitudes had been carried off. Nehemiah was given the task of come back, begin to rebuild the wall, put the gates back. And so, this passage that I'm going to read about the gatekeeper there in Nehemiah says, "We prayed to our God, and because of the evil ones, we set up a guard against them day and night." Through the months that were passing, these concerned members were seeking advice and guidance. Talked to Sheriff Lauterbach, talked to other churches. What's being done to monitor our campus during times when people are here, whether it's youth or Bible study or whatever is going on? Even now, as we speak, there are gatekeepers that are monitoring our surroundings, because we want to be able to come here and focus worship. If we're constantly looking over our shoulder, wondering when the next tragedy will occur, we can't really focus on the Lord God Almighty. And so I want to thank, I appreciate, I know you do as well, the gatekeeper ministry that was begun. It was thought out. It was prudent, well organized, and it was a well considered response to what had been occurring. And so this ministry has been in place this year, of course, and part of last year. There is another verse in Ezekiel that is a sad verse, and I'm glad it didn't occur here. It said that in Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter and the 30th verse says this: "The Lord said about Jerusalem, 'I searched for a man to stand in the gap before me, and I found none.'" See, that's a sad thing. God said, "I searched for a man to stand in the gap, the breach, but I found none."
I rejoice that we have 21 gatekeepers that are standing in the gap so that we can continue. They're on a rotating basis. They're in services. They're around. That we can focus on the Lord God Almighty and worship Him and honor Him. We are saddened by the occurrence of school shootings on Friday. We must prepare. We must be prepared. We cannot ignore the evil that is in this world. But we don't want to be afraid. We've not been given a fear, a spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind, the scripture says. And so in that sound mind and power of God, we move forward. And I want to thank the gatekeeper ministry of this church that allows us to focus our attention on God. Now, the next couple of passages that I want to look at have the word guard in them quite a bit, as did the Psalm 121 had guard. And I want you to look with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. And I appreciate you turning. This is a solemn charge of Paul to the young Timothy. It is the heart of all the pastoral letters, all of his letters, Ephesians and Philippians, Colossians, all of Paul's letters have this in its heart. It is also, this passage is part, this second letter of to Timothy from Paul is known to be the final written words of the Apostle Paul to believers, to us. His execution has arrived. And he's wrapping up this final letter to his son in the faith, the young Timothy. And he says, verse 12, "For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." And then he says in 14, "Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which I entrusted to you." We are to guard it. Now, the basis for Paul's boldness, as he stands in a prison that has a window at the top way up. And this is what light comes in to him. And he is writing his last words to the young Timothy that will go on after him. He knows the hour of his departure has occurred. And he's wanting to give the last words of inspiration to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he says, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he's able to guard that which I have entrusted to him. Now, this is intensely personal, but it's good for us. He wrote to Timothy, but we have the record, so we apply it to ourselves. He had certainty, Paul, as he awaited execution. He had certainty that God would continue in his life in the beyond. As he had placed his faith in Christ Jesus, though he had at one time been an enemy of God, he was now a spokesman. I don't know how far you've ever gotten from God, and maybe right now you feel that far, but you are never too far from God to turn around and embrace the Christ. And Paul had done it. Saul of Tarsus had been an enemy of God, had worked against Christians, had them slain. Now his life was gloriously turned around, transformed, so that he would be used as a great instrument in God's hands to reach out to the Gentile world. That's us. And he says that he is convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. God calls us to be brave, to show courage, but he doesn't leave us without his protection, his inspiration. And so the apostle, awaiting his execution, gives these words to Timothy and says to him, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what he's entrusted to him. The indwelling spirit performs through us every function that the church needs. We look now at the couple of more passages as we're closing. We look at the Philippians passage. It's well known. It's 4:7. Philippians 4:7. Paul, speaking here, says, and the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus. The peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When am I more susceptible to a spiritual attack in my life? It's when my heart and my mind is not being guarded. He says that God will guard your heart. There are times of weakness that we experience. And in those times, we are overwhelmed with fear or grief or something like this. Here are some. When we are shaken by these grief opportunities, we have deep losses. We can reel and we can blame God. When pride moves into us, takes hold of us. When we fall into other temptations, when we become disappointed and we begin to compare ourselves with others, times like these, we need to remember that God is at work in us. And He has not forgotten us. He wants to continue to bless through us and in us bless others. We can be lulled into false securities in life, but hear this, please. Placing our faith in Christ is not false security. Placing our complete weight down on God is what the believer must do to make it through this kind of difficult world that we live in. Now, we are not lulled into a false security. That's not what I'm talking about. We are dependent upon the same God that brought David through. And you know that even David had weakness and sin. God never forgot him. He brought him back. He used him mightily. The keeper is exactly that. He keeps us. He doesn't cast us aside when we are weak. I know that this passage in Hebrews is one that we will close on. It says in Hebrews 6:10, "For God is not unjust so as to forget your work." God hasn't forgotten what you've done in His behalf. "And He has not forgotten the love which you have shown toward His name, having ministered and still ministering to the saints." When you stand in the gap, when you become a gatekeeper of of his gospel. He has not forgotten you. He's not forgotten the believer. And he continues to move and work through us. He ministers through us. He relentlessly still ministers through us to others. And he does not let the evil one have access to us. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we feel defeated. But that's not God. That's us believing that God has forgotten us. He has not. He has kept his promise. He will work in and through us to bring about his purposes. I want to publicly thank the gatekeepers that minister here for us, that we can focus on God's word. I want to thank you for your prayers for me today. I want to thank God that he's not finished with us, but he continues to work and move through this church to bring about his purposes. God loves us, and he is at work in us. We are not forgotten. And so we should not be afraid to move out, to keep the faith in what God has planned for this church and for us as we move into eternity.